One of my most favorite stories in the Old Testament, pretty much ever, is definitely the story of David and Goliath. When I was a kid, you know, it was so easy to relate to that story. You know, see David as, you know, this awesome hero, like, you know, just go out like Superman. And like, to me, it was a story about good conquering evil, no matter how big or terrifying it comes. You know, like Hercules or something like that. But the story is a lot more than that. It's the story of David and Goliath is one of the greatest examples of faith that the Bible offers to us. Goliath was the champion of the Philistines. He was a giant and had, like, he'd been trained in war since he was a little kid. And David, on the other hand, was just a little shepherd boy, you know, with no training in battle and at all. But the thing about it is he prevails. Not because he was a natural-born fighter or was really good with a slingshot, but because he had this firm faith in the living God. So let's turn. The story is told in the first book of Samuel, chapter 17, so let's all turn there. Now, in order to get the entire picture into our heads, because this is, you know, this is a story, and the Bible wants to let us know where the thing is taking place. The Bible gives us an image of the place that the armies in Israel and of the Philistines were gathered to do battle. And that's one thing I want to point out right there. They were, you know, actually fighting. When I was a little kid, I always pictured it like, you know, just David and Goliath fought and that was it. There was absolutely no fighting whatsoever. But in verse 27, I think, yeah, it says that they actually did fight, you know. And, 21. They actually did fight. And, I always pictured it, you know, like Goliath comes up to a bunch of Israel guys and with all of his old buddies behind him, like, yo, what's up? And then the Israelites just run away. But that's not it at all. It wasn't just like, you know, some boxing match. You know what I'm talking about? Do you see Cinderella Man? Yeah. Like, Goliath comes down to, like, Goliath, the pride of Gath, the champion of Philistines, against David, the hero of Israel, and stuff, yada, yada, yada. They were having a war. So let's get the picture into the story in our heads, and let's go to verse 1. It says, now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle, and were gathered at Soco, which belongs in Judah. They encamped between Soco and Azekah in Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. So we got two mountains facing each other, right? And they got a valley in between them. And they're ready to have it out. But back then, before a battle commences, you know, the leaders and the armies came together, and they decide on terms of battle. And in the case of the champions were not regular infantry. Infantrymen fought in the actual army against army, but your champions were kind of like the knights of the Middle Ages. They came out and fought one on one with the champion of the opposite army. So they send their champion out in verse 4. And the champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff on his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come out to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if we prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. This guy was huge. He was 9 feet 9 inches tall. That's about the height of, you know, 6 cubits in the span. And boy, this guy could carry a lot. His coat of mail alone was about 157 pounds. And and his spearhead was 18 pounds by itself. So he was carrying at least 157 pounds altogether. And that's not including his helmet, his shoulder, or leg armor. According to Adam Clark's Bible commentary, the armor's total weight, like every single thing he was wearing, was about 270 pounds. So I wonder, you know, what the Hebrews were thinking when this guy came out. And it's a the Hebrews come down, and they're like, you know, ready to duke it out with the Philistines. All of a sudden, this dude comes out, and he's like, pick your strongest dude, okay? And to fight me. And we'll end the battle in one fight. The biggest and meanest, you know, ugliest and smelliest, assuming that Goliath was smelly, came up with his cronies to you and your friends and told you to pick one of you to fight him, I sure wouldn't be the first to, you know, volunteer. That's what Saul and the Israelites were thinking. For 40 days, Goliath did this in the morning and the evening. And every time, no one was chosen. Now enters the hero of our story, David, a shepherd and the youngest of the 8 sons of Jesse. His 3 oldest brothers, Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah, went with Saul to battle the Philistines. David stayed behind to tend his father's sheep, which he had been doing all his life. Verse 17. Then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain, and then 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp. And carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000, and see how your brothers fare. And bring back news of them. Lost my spot. So David does, and when he gets there, the armies are already fighting. They're all ready to fight. And he cheers on his people. Verse 22. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked to them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. The Israelites were still afraid of this guy, and they ran away from him. There isn't one man among the army of Israel that has the courage or faith to stand up to Goliath. And show, but David sees all this and decides to take action, and show that they have something much greater than a 9'9" giant. Verse 25 through 37. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that that the man who kills him, the king, will enrich the great riches, enrich with great riches." Will keep him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. When David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him and said in this manner, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, "Why did you come down here, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" And he turned from him toward another and said the same thing, and these people answered him as the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Lost my place. There we go. And then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. David has God on his side, the creator of the universe and all that is in it. David had seen how God works in people's lives. And David knew that his Lord would deliver him from the sword of Goliath. David has so much faith. We all know that it's extremely hard to put all of your faith in God sometimes. Even Peter lost faith, and he didn't have enough faith to stay above the water with Jesus. The way that David shows his faith in this story, it makes you think maybe David could have stayed above the water the whole time. David's faith didn't stop there either. Verses 38 through 39. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened the sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Okay, now not only is David going to fight a 9-foot giant, he's going to go with no armor or sword. Kind of makes you think he must be insane or something, but the thing is, he has an endless supply of faith in God. If it was me, I know I'd want to put as much metal on me as possible. It probably wouldn't work, but it would make me feel better. But David didn't need it. Again, he had something greater than armor on his side. So what's David going to do? He has no armor or weapons. Is he going to slug it out with Goliath, who, by the way, is wearing his armor? David's going to use what he knows, verse 40. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. David's going to use stones. That's pretty cool. This is one of the reasons why I love this story so much. There are so many stories about terrible giants in folklore, like Jack and the Beanstalk or Odysseus. And in both of those stories, they use really dramatic ways to destroy the giants. Like Jack cuts down the beanstalk and he falls down all those hundreds of feet. And Odysseus gets the Cyclops drunk and pokes his eye out with a big stick. David does it really easily, which just shows how amazingly faithful he was to God. He does it with a stone. So now let's read the story of his battle with Goliath, which I like a lot. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come with me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. But David said to the Philistine, you come to me with the sword, with a spear and a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath, and killed him, and cut his head off with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Who knew that David could do something like that? Out of all the men of war in the army of Saul, his own brothers, and whatnot, David was the only one who had the faith and courage to face Goliath. God says in Acts chapter 2, verse 13, that David was a man after his own heart. And boy, does he show it in this story. The story of David and Goliath is probably one of the most recognizable stories in the Old Testament. Just about anyone in America from any background has heard of it or knows it. But there's one thing about this story that sets it apart from any fairy tale, myth, or fable. This story is true. And you can bet on that because it's in God's word. There is not one thing in here that isn't true. 2 Timothy chapter 3:16 says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God as profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Which leads me to the entire reason why I chose this story. The story of David and Goliath is not only an event that really happened. It is an example of the faith that we need to have in our God. If every last one of us trusts in God like David trusted in God, there is absolutely nothing that we can't overcome. There's nothing too big or too scary or too difficult for us. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So how many of us have got a Goliath in our lives? How many of us are being faced with horrible, scary circumstances and just don't know how to get through them? How many of us are making really hard decisions or having trouble facing really tempting temptations? David didn't have to face his Goliath alone. And you don't have to either. Guess what? You are even better equipped than David was. If you look around you, you've got at least 300 brothers and sisters with you, a whole army of God to fight alongside you. David had no army to back him up. None of them would support him or stand up beside him. You've got so many people here who want to help you and want to help you get through your hard times and struggles. You could try, and stick it out as best as you can on your own and, resorting to the protection that the world can offer you. Or you can be like David and cast off the heavy, bulky armor of the world and put on the full armor of God. Matthew 11:28-29 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. If you're not a Christian, you can come forward now and take on the full armor of God. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you repent of your sins this day, if you confess your faith in Jesus Christ before this church, you can be baptized and become a member of the Lord's army and be forgiven of all your sins. Now, don't think that once you become a member, you don't have to do anything else. You can just throw the armor off and, let it rust. You got to keep that armor on for the rest of your life. And if you do so, you will receive the greatest gift of all, an eternal life with your living God. If you're already a struggling soldier of God, if the world is wounding you and you need help, we are here to help you. We're your brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't carry the weight of the world on your own shoulders any longer. Let us carry it for you. Let Jesus carry it for you. If there is anything that you need, please come forward while we stand and sing.